will perform it. It shall be done by his holy word. I received this message yesterday morning, and I felt such a stirring in my soul. Actually, I received the first part of this during a business, during a board meeting, and we came together to talk about various projects and what we should do and how we should do it and how we should finance the sanctuary. And I didn't know, didn't come with an opinion, didn't know really how, what to do in the sanctuary. And we still don't know, and we put it on the shelf and we're praying because it's possible that we could start the wrong way on it. We're asking you to pray that we might have a full confirmation by everyone in the board. And I want everyone to know and to know for sure. But we talked about it a little bit, bringing good points. And I was but like a fence post. But all of a sudden, something began to stir in me, and the light began to go on. The thing began to develop, began to speak. The more I spoke, the larger it got. The vision began to get bright, it began to get clear. And the more I spoke, the clearer it got. The more sure I got, the more positive I got. The time I got through, I really felt stirred of God, and I felt I knew something. And I didn't know everything we needed. But one thing I knew, and I knew that, and God had made it clear to me, that we've got to get out and get this ministry expanded now. And I think that I know that the feedback from it will be at least part of the answer. I do not know that this is the direct answer, all of it, or the primary part of it, and so we're still not able to start out here. We haven't got the plans quite back yet anyway, but we'll have them out in about a week, and we need prayer desperately of God's people that we might know exactly what to do here and when at the right time. We can go out at the wrong time because we are not in the right place, haven't got things developed out here yet, and we must know this of the Lord. But I got this message that incorporated what God was doing in me during that meeting. And it's indicative to me, it was of God for several reasons. One is I had nothing ahead of time, and all of a sudden I begin to know. And when that happens to me, and this happens rather frequently, I go and I don't know, and all of a sudden I begin to know and begins to come in. Secondly, by the stirring and by the faith, the way it comes in, the strength of it, the positiveness of it, I realize how God brings me things. But I got this message yesterday, and it stirred me so deeply that I wanted to preach it yesterday. And I said, I wish I could preach it now. I was stirred half of the day with the message. After I'd finished it, just the day went on, I was just stirred with the message. And when you leave it a day or so, you know, it isn't quite the same as when you first get it. But I'm believing God that he is going to stir your hearts. And one of the biggest problems I had in contemplating bringing you the message was fear of the lack of ability of the congregation to take a hold of what I'm saying and do something with it. Now, I am well aware that there are a good number that are just standing on tiptoe, and brother, you say the very first letter and they're off and moving. But I'm also aware that there are many sleeping, many big stocks without fruit on it. And as a matter of fact, maybe you don't know this, but I can feel over and over and over and over again by the Spirit of God, I can just feel the congregation. And I not only can feel the general flavor of a congregation, but I can feel the division in the congregation. And I don't mean a schism, I mean I can feel the part that is and the part that isn't. Not that I know who is who exactly, but I mean the Spirit of the Lord makes me aware of the fact that we're not all together in this thing, and that everybody is in here, and there's a good number, and this was brought out in the message tonight, that many are hearing, but many are not hearing. And this disturbs me. It bothers me. And I pray tonight that you'll open your ears wide. I pray that you'll somehow get out of that position where you are just listening to a message, a preacher's voice, a sermon. Somehow get out of that idea you're going to come to church and listen to a message and go home. That somehow you'll let God come in and break whatever that damp is. You'll begin to call out until you do something different than you did the last 15 years of your church life. You begin to step out and live by faith in God and begin to implement the message as though God really did say something. As though he meant what he said. As though the prophecy is true and the word of God is true and the end is here and in God is moving and there's a vision and things are going to happen and now is the time. Now pray tonight. You'll open your heart wide to hear what the Spirit is saying into the churches. The purpose of this message tonight is to increase your faith that you might be able to get the vision. That the vision might bring you to a place of total commitment and that the commitment might bring you to a place of action. In the days of Samuel, the scripture says there was no open vision. And this is the condition of most of the churches today throughout the land. There is not an open vision of the Lord's work and will. The people are going to church. They're living kind of like robots in a fog. Just mechanically going on in a rut. And they do not have an open and clear vision of what God is wanting to do. In 2 Samuel chapter 7 and verse 17, the scripture says, according to all of the vision, did Nathan the prophet. This is telling us that when God gives a vision, we are to implement that vision. And it said, according to the vision, did all. Nathan the prophet did all of the vision. He didn't just do a little bit of it. He didn't just say, well, that's wonderful. He did the vision. He followed it. He implemented it. The prophet set in motion what God said. In the book of Proverbs chapter 29 and verse 18, we read that where there is no vision, the people perish. If you do not have the vision that God is putting in us that are praying and waiting upon God and in leadership, then you will not pray right. You won't pray fervently because you don't have a vision. Why pray? There's nothing super to pray about. Nothing really distressing. No great calamities. Nothing mighty. Nothing shaking. Nothing emotional. If you do not have the vision, you will not study like you should study. You'll just be going to Bible college. You will not train like you should train because you don't see the battle out there. You don't see the fruits. You don't see the great fields. You don't see the urgency. You don't understand, and you can't project yourself in a place where you're seeing a few years you're out there in the ministry. And I can about guarantee you that if every one of you would get a pictorial vision, a mighty vision of God, where you can see yourself clearly, preaching under the power of the Holy Ghost and out there with responsibilities in great fields and in a very short time and can see the date, printed there by the Lord. There would be feet shuffling. There would be lamps burning. There would be praying. There would be diligence like you never saw. My friend, it's going to happen. Whether you see the vision or not, it's out there. He's calling us to it. He's given the vision to his minister, and he expects us to get the vision. Without a vision, we won't die to self. We won't live right. We don't see the necessity of getting in shape so God can anoint us and use us in the ministry that lays ahead, because we are now not in that ministry. The school, and we've got children, and we got families, and we're going to the job, and so what's all the big fuss about? Well, all the big fuss about is it won't stay that way very long. Things are changing. And you've got to do things, prepare for things ahead of time. You can't wait to the very last minute. God said to the prophet Isaiah concerning Israel's priests and the prophets in his day, excepting for Isaiah and Hosea and Micah, he said they err in vision. They stumble in the night. And this is a picture of the priests and the prophets of our generation. This is a picture of the ministers around the world today. Not all of them. There are some Micahs and some Hoseas and some Isaiahs around. But excepting for that, they err in vision. And they stumble in the dark. They do not have the vision of God. Now I know what I'm talking about. I know that as sure as I know anything. And I know somewhat the ministerial circles. And there is a lack of vision that is absolutely pathetic. In the book of Lamentations we read, they find no vision from the Lord. And in the book of Jeremiah we read, they speak a vision from their own heart. Everything is from what their own heart, what I think, and the way we are planning, and we've got some ecumenicism and some councils and seminars coming up, and what we're trying to do is to get together and do this, and that's their vision. It's all from their own heart. It's not, did not come from the throne of God who sees the future and the urgency of the age and the truths of God, and the people out here upon hillsides wandering like they have no shepherd. Though they've got scribes and Pharisees by the dozens. The angel came to the prophet Daniel and said, "For yet the vision is for many days." And he said to the prophet Habakkuk, "The vision is yet for an appointed time." God has given a vision. And there are people that says, "Well, you've said that. And I haven't seen anything. And I've been here 3 years. The vision is yet for many days, for an appointed time." There is an appointed month when the rain falls, my friend. And they can warn you, and they can tell you, get ready for the harvest rain. Get your wagons repaired, to get the granaries repaired, so to receive it and to take it in and get everything set up for it. Get your sickles all bought and sharpened and get the people trained and hired and all ready. And you can say, "Well, you've been saying that a half of the winter and I haven't seen a thing." But the harvest will come. Catch many people unprepared, like the flood caught people unprepared. And like the second coming of Jesus going to catch people unprepared. In Acts chapter 16, we read that a vision appeared unto Paul in the night. And this is the night. The day is far spent. We are coming into the night, and God is beginning to give his people visions that they might see the urgency and the necessity. They might understand what to do. The Apostle Paul said, "I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision." Are you disobedient tonight unto the vision that God has given? Can you say with Paul, "I am not disobedient to the heavenly vision"? When God says to prepare and look not into yourself and look into me, and God begins to say, "I will raise up a great army among you," and he wants it to be trained and move out, are you disobedient? Living your own life, hearing with ears that cannot hear, seeing with eyes that can see no vision? Or are you obedient? Are you training? Are you praying? There are some in both camps. Apostle Paul said, "I will come unto visions and revelations." This is what I am praying. God, give me greater revelation. Lord, increase the word of knowledge and revelation. Give me greater vision. I am not only praying this way, I am believing God for it. I have a confidence of it. I am praying in real faith, believing God to do that very thing. And I am believing, and I am going to show you that this is going to expand in me and expand in me and expand in me. And as it expands in me, it's going to come to you, and it's going to come to you, and it's going to come to you. And some of you are saying, good, good, good. But what are you going to do about it when it comes to you? Why is it good to come to you if you don't do anything with it? All it will do is gospel harden you. All it will do is bring more judgment upon you. It will do nothing for you unless you hear it and do it. I have seen visions of the Lord. I saw a vision of a great mountain. And I saw people in a valley, a great valley. And I saw people wandering in great multitudes in the valley. And I saw a darkness begin to sweep down this valley. And as it began to sweep in the valley and begin to be light, dark, I saw lights go on. As the darkness began to cross, you could see lights right underneath that thin, foggy darkness. And I began seeing people climbing the mountain. Some began to go up the base, and there was already a few partly up and some a little bit higher. And they were climbing the mountain. We couldn't even see the top. And it was a steep mountain. I still remember the shape of it. I see the vision as clear in my mind as the day I saw it. And I saw the darkness begin to go over the lights, and the lights begin to snuff out down the valley. The lights begin to go out one after another. Everybody that stayed in the valley had the lights go out. Only those climbing, and the darkness settled in. It began to move higher up the mountain, and people were climbing. And then I saw wind begin to come, and there's an urgency, and people begin to hurry, and they begin to get more up. You see them in different groups, different places moving, and they were not all at the same place. And some down below, the darkness was covering. The lights were going out. And I saw that urgency. Sometime before that, I saw a vision that caused me uphill to weep and weep and weep and weep during the vision. I saw cities burn in America. I saw fire. I saw tremendous burnings and fires. God affected my heart that night. I felt good. I felt the presence of the Lord. And I came up out of the prayer room, and I came up here. My mind went blank. I didn't know what was happening. I felt nothing. I didn't feel God. I didn't feel anything. I had nothing. And I was up here to pray, and I backed clear up to there. So I wouldn't sound the microphone, and I didn't know what was happening to me. I felt the presence. I felt nothing. And then the vision came. God cleared my mind and brought that vision. Brother, I wept and wept and wept and told the vision. How many were here when I did that several years ago? That's going to happen. It coincides in part with David Wilkerson's vision, I suppose, and with others who've had visions. I didn't get a lot of specifics. I didn't get specific cities. I don't know anything about it other than I saw the scene blazing. And I tell you, it's something of terror. The hour is late. And what we do, we must do quickly. You are going to be living in a different America in a very few years, my friend. Every year you live in a different America than you did last year. But I want to tell you, it is changing so rapidly. It won't be very long, and you will never recognize. You are going to see earthquakes. You're going to see cataclysms. You're going to see fire. You're going to see anarchy. You're going to see panic. You're going to see people rushing in. You're going to see things like you've never seen before. You that are just sitting here complacent, doing nothing, you're going to get shook, but you won't be trained. Samuel started the school of the prophets. Israel needed a ministry. They needed ministers. They needed people to go out and begin to teach the people and be the mouthpiece of God. And so the prophet Samuel was a mighty, mighty, mighty man, a high priest, a prophet, a judge, a man who started the education in Israel and the school of the prophets and built roads and was commanded the army and got the nation in shape. He was a fantastic administrator. He was the administrator of the ages of the Old Testament. And he started the school of the prophets that Elijah took on. Then Elisha carried on. And God caused him to start that they might have prophets in Israel and people that knew the things of God. And he started in that venerated prophet, Samuel. God has called me to Community Chapel, Bible Training Center, to start an end-time saturation ministry. Because the hour is late, And God is taking babes to do the work that full-grown men should do, because the full-grown men are not willing to do the job. And so he's raising up some young spiritual zealots that got energy without much wisdom, and he's given me the task to teach them and to dump the wisdom and the knowledge in them, and he will come and pick them up with the Holy Ghost as they take it, and he will equip that which is not much to make it mighty in the earth and to do the job that the others will not do, because they want to compromise and fool around and become big in the eyes of other people rather than do the will of God. There are many without a vision in Community Chapel. Looking at what we are now, my friend, is not a vision. That's sight. Anyone can see what we are now. Anyone can expect that we'll have a little bit of a radio ministry increase. That's predictable. But to see the vision, you've got to see something different than what we are out here a few years. You've got to see an army of people out there in churches across America and the radio land and the seminars, everything built up. You've got to see a completely different scene. Unless you see it, you don't have the vision. You have to see the harvest field. You've got to see the urgency. You see what's happening to this nation. You've got to see the closing of time, the devil rising up, the sorceries, the wicked Sodom and Gomorrah, the pillars of Babylon rising and closing in on us, and the Antichrist government coming and the out-translation, and the calendar running out in the sand, dropping into the sand bottom vial of the sand clock, and there's not much sand left on top. You have to see this or you don't have the vision. And you've got to see yourself in the work of God or you don't have the vision in some capacity or another as a functioning member of the body of Christ. God wants to raise up an army of Branhams, Freemans, Wyatts, Lindsays, Cathcarts. In other words, he wants to raise up an army of miracle ministries, apostles of faith, men to coordinate the work and hold it steady, apostles to lay the foundation all over the world, men to be the mouthpiece of God that when he speaks, it'll have a channel that can flow without fear or favor. But some of you will not believe. Some of you will not believe that God can use you. Some of you will not train unto that end. Woe unto you that will not hear the work of God, for you will be a part of the great apostasy. You will come to a place where you will get discouraged. You'll watch the group go on. You won't be able to relate and enter in, and something will come along, and at a weak hour, you'll go under, and you'll be one of the many whose names are being scrubbed off of the book of life. You'll say, I'll never do that, my friend, unless you move on with God. I promise you'll do that. I've dealt with too many people who said, I'll never do this. And I could see the principles. I could see what they were doing. And I said, mark my words, young man, if you do this, this is exactly what's going to happen. And it happened right down the line. Case after case after case after case. It has happened just as I have told them over and over and over again. But they couldn't seem to hear or to believe. Many of you are looking only 1 or 2 years ahead. You're only looking till you graduate. You're only looking to a little full ministry right ahead of you. You are not looking down the end of time and seeing that God has something for you that fits into a giant and a marvelous great scheme. Now, I am not blaming you in this hour of not knowing your full developed ministry. God seldom takes people partway trained and shows them the end ministry. They can't stand it if he does. And even when God begins to give people a glimpse of the ministry and a little goading because they need it, they all want to leave and run out half-trained because they begin to get some goading or begin to get a little bit of a vision. When God begins to show them a little bit, they all want to split, as they say, and dash off. He doesn't dare show them very much ahead of time. Most of them can't even take what he does give them. But you've got to see the scope of what God has raised this church up for as a unique group to spread forth His name throughout the earth, that if it's not important to you, it's important to God. My people shall know my name. He's not going to marry a bride who hasn't got the slightest idea who he is, who they're marrying. And if you will study the word of God all the way through, he made that so clear to Israel. That was such an important point to him. He stressed it over and over and over and over and over and over again about 15 times, one to two chapters in the book of Isaiah. Many of you will give up and take off if you have to wait very long. We won't bind together and pray until God splits heaven and drives off the power of darkness, drives away lying spirits, dispels the spirit of sleepiness, exposes the spirit of mistrust, and these other activities of the demonic world in our midst. I believe the day is at hand when we will. But we have not. Admonition after admonition does not produce an army of prevailing prayer warriors, because it's hard. Because we got habits that are otherwise. Because we are carnal, let's face it. We're in the flesh too much. We're busy with all kinds of things. And we will not deny ourselves and have a vision bright enough that will bind together and begin to seek God until He shakes the heavens and comes down and breaks the forces of evil one and sends out an army across the earth. It's very possible, yea, I say probable, that if we had done what God wanted us to do 3 years ago, we would have been out 3 years ago doing what we'll be out doing 2 years hence. We are holding up the woo of God. He cannot move unless the church moves. The church is letting. It's a letting process. But power is building up behind the dam, my friend. The time will come. God will take what He's got at the hour He's got. And what they will do is what He'll use. And that's the results that He'll get. We're all tangled up in petty carnalities, in unbelief, fears seizing a hold of God's people till they can't believe that God can do miracle work among them. They can believe that He'll do it in somebody else, but they can't believe He'll do it in them. They can believe He'll set somebody else free, but they can't believe He'll set them free because they've had the problem too long. Well, they just don't understand my problem. My friend, God not only understands, it doesn't make any difference what kind of a problem you have, how long you've had it, or anything about it, or Brother Brown, or anybody else. Brother, if you will let loose of that mistrust and suspicions and fears and lies and begin to step out on God's word, He'll transform you in such a short time that you will never recognize yourself. You'll wonder where you went. Devil and all his host of demons has kept the Church of Jesus Christ in bondage for generations. The church has been bowed over, chained, the mouth stopped, living in fear, carnality, living far beneath the privileges as princes of God and sons of the Almighty King of Kings. There's been a generation of preachers produced that fail to speak a clear message. Some carnal preacher might get offended. Some carnal preacher might be implicated until God's people have so shook at anybody telling it like it is. Oh, brother, they might get offended out there. Can you imagine? Can you imagine John the Baptist? Said, oh, you generation of vipers, who hath forewarned you to flee from the wrath to come? He said that to the state church, my friend, the most religious group in all Palestine. He said that to the leaders of the church, because he was a mouthpiece of God. Jesus came without fear or favor. He didn't come and get an ecumenical council with the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the Essenes and all the rest and say, oh, now all you nice, sweet guys, now what we need to do is just love one another and speak nothing divisive and all this and this and this. He didn't do that. He, no fear or favor, he came right out and he told it just like it was. The Apostle Paul came and he preached straight. We have produced people so scared of the truth, so afraid, thinking that somehow we can get people to come in if we just don't ruffle the feathers. My friend, you usually don't get anybody in if you don't ruffle the feathers. It's the ones that get stirred up and ruffled and upset enough to begin to look into it, shaken enough that they can usually break down and come in. The ones that you preach this psychosomatic sweet gospel to, they lay there and slumber. They never come in because you don't have anything to give them. You haven't shaken anything. You haven't broken any foundations. You haven't proved them wrong. You've never shown any glory. You've never implicated them. And they just lay there in their sins forever and die that way. Unless you take them up and shake them good and break the foundation, kick the foundation out from under them, shine a bright light on top of them, and dangle them over the pit of hell, and so give them the vision and admonish them, they don't do anything. What does God want to do with Community Chapel? He wants to get radio messages out all over America. He wants to send miracle deliverance teams out in churches and auditoriums across the land that will pray for the sick, and they'll come out of wheelchairs, and the blind will see, and the deaf ears will come open, and people will begin to see there's people who've got power with God. And there will be a man who will come forth with a dynamic, clear message after the anointed songs have gone forth and the power of the Holy Ghost, after in-depth testimonies, not I just got saved and offered drugs, but things that talk about spending the eve the whole night long in the glory and the presence of God and moving in ways that they know nothing about and having the understanding. I don't mean a lot of flesh and a lot of claims, but I mean realities that they can see come forth from people who know God, and they will take cognizance of the fact that they have been with Jesus like they did with the apostles. They'll know that the difference between a lot of high-powered salesman preachers bouncing all over the place with a high bunch of high claims and somebody who stands and speaks from his heart that which is coming from the eternal heavens. And after they get through with that, miracles will be done. And when their eyeballs are sticking out and their ears are wide open, somebody will get up and he'll bring the truth with such power, laying it out with such clarity, and absolutely smash and dispose all the false doctrines and traditions they've been taught way back through the Catholic centuries, and strip them of all that Catholicism they got in the modern Protestant churches and the deadness, and begin to show them the Word of God as the Apostle Paul brought it forth, and they'll begin to have new truths to walk in. God wants to get Theologies of Truth magazines out, so people who are on the radio and places we're sending in, they begin to get subscriptions, so they're getting Theologies of Truth. And they become Community Chapel and beginning to see new doctrines that will begin to build them and strengthen them and give them perspectives. They might begin to know the Word of Truth and see what God is doing. God wants to get deliverance centers open. There will be men who will have come out of hippieism, the drug world, and all this type of thing, who will be concerned about other young people out there today, wandering in the fog, no place to go, no leaders, nothing, not knowing anything, just looking for a shepherd that will come and bring them into these homes and begin to love them, begin to pray with them, begin to hold them steady, begin to teach them, begin to build them up, until they get to a place they can take them from the deliverance center and send them into the Church of Jesus Christ as a useful member of the body. God wants to start satellite churches all across the land until this voice is magnified 1,000 times, until there's 1,000 centers that they can run into, and when the radio messages go forth, they can go to the nearest center and they can get the same thing, the same truths, the same power, the same anointing, the same glories, and they can begin to move with God. God wants to hold minister seminars to train and to reorient them to begin to think according to God, with the leading of God, instead of the think tanks of man that want to produce with lots of money, great big conferences and huge signs and a lot of big hallabaloo to get something that doesn't do anything. But he wants to stir men's souls. He wants to shake them up from bottom to top and top to bottom and straighten them out and get them all put back together right and get them on fire for him and breathing in the breath of life and set them out to work for God. Maybe even television. I don't know. This has never been given to me yet. I had the radio message 10 years ago. I was part of the original thing I told them when we first cooperated. I don't know. Maybe Christians won't be watching television by then. I don't know. Maybe they will. Maybe we'll be in television lands all over the world. I don't know. That hasn't come yet. We're open to it. But God has to get us in shape first. We've got to live in a faith walk and not just mouth it. We have to have a life of ministering. We're talking about a total life involvement. We have a natural tendency to grow weary in well-doing. We must pray that we must break through and have new impetus and power with God, that we might not be slowed down in the task. At the end of the ages, the enemy would bring us dampness and he would be in a tangle us, that we might be slow down and get sluggish and discouraged in a walk and begin to throw off the ministry. We've got to pray that God will give us a bright vision we might walk in it. We've got to pray that we'll be revitalized by the Spirit. We must have the revelation of what the Spirit is saying to the church in the last hour of the day. God wants us into a total life involvement. This is the plan of God. You say, how about my career? That is your career. How about my job? That is your job. Your work out there is only a means to an end. It's only to keep body and soul together until the spirit and soul are caught up. The only thing you're doing out there is just keeping your place in shape. This is your life, your ministry. You should have a total involvement with Jesus Christ. You say, I won't make as much money that way. I'll guarantee you won't make as much money that way. But I guarantee you'll have sheaves on the other side. I'll guarantee you'll have a power and anointing with God. I guarantee you'll have a better life. And I guarantee that God will prosper you. And I guarantee you that when the forces of Antichrist come, before the Antichrist himself, but when the forces and the Spirit is invading us, and when the hard times come ahead, he'll keep you through the hard times. He'll keep you through the earthquakes. He'll keep you through the famines. He'll feed you. He'll take care of you while others who've got more substance than you go under. He that seeks to save his life shall lose it. He that seeks to lose his life for my sake shall find it, Jesus said. These are last days. There are not many years left. We don't know precisely how many years, but there's not many left. And things are going to get so bad that the only real hope in life you've got is a total life involvement with Jesus and have a ministry and be part of the functioning body. And this world is going to get shortly, so you're going to hate it so badly that you cannot stand it. Thank God. You see, it's a terrible thing to see this world get so wicked, but it's a blessing in disguise. The more wicked it gets, the easier it is for the Christian to finally say, the world has finally gone beyond my lust. I can't keep up with the Sodom and Gomorrah. I hate it. And that'll solve your lust problems with the world. It'll solve your love with the world. It will finally outrun you until you can't stand that wicked generation. And when you get so that your righteous soul is vexed day by day, God will take you out of Sodom before the fire comes down. Most people do not see the potential army that we have right here for God. Most people do not see the preparation of God that's being done. This is an invisible church inside of the woman. There's preparation going on in hearts. There's things being done in hearts. There's work being done that most of you know nothing about. And even you that are doing it don't see the whole picture and recognize it. God's got it all on the strategy board, and he can see it. and there's a lot more being done you know anything about. And just to help quicken your faith, and just to help spur you, and just to help you know that we have been busy here, and this pastor and elders and leaders have been busy in a thousand areas that most of you know nothing about, and the people have been busy like you don't know, I want to read you a list of the ministries that we have here already, and we haven't started yet. Wait till you hear the list. Now, the first few won't impress you very much, but by the time I get done, some of your knees are going to shake if you haven't done anything. Now, you know, in the average church that you come from, if you have 800 people or 1,000 people or 300 or whatever, how many people can you get involved? How many people are involved at that church up here? It's got 1,000 people. 5? 20? 800? Not 800. Most of them just come to church and sit. There's a handful of dedicated people. Let me read you the current status at Community Chapel and Bible Training Center, just so you get the picture how people who love Jesus will work for God, and we haven't started loving Him yet like we're really going to. I believe in polishing till God can see His face in us. We have 33 official counselors that include 12 ordained ministers, plus one full-time minister of counseling to take care of problems. We have 90 new convert counselors, so that when new converts come in, studies they can give them studies and various doctrines and get them caught up and pray with them and help them. And if you're a new convert and you've come in, you need to sign up for a new convert counselor right away and get on board. We have at least a dozen with a gift of healing and are ministering in the church and at home and in hospitals. We have 55 in jail ministries that go to Monroe and King County Jail, and they're being saved at every service according to the reports that I've received. We have a prison ministry that goes to McNeil Island. We have an airport ministry out there to witness for Jesus. We have Bible study that is done at Teen Challenge. We have Bible studies that are done in some homes around the area here. We have occasional ministries with Full Gospel Benjamin's Fellowship International. We have Calistoga Chiropractic, I'm not sure what it is, but it has to do with the Full Gospel Businessmen Fellowship in this area. We have ministries that go to parks and college campuses at certain seasons, and especially in the summer. We have children's summer evangelism and growth ministries. They've gone out and have taken children, and we've had class, very large classes, and they've taught them in the Word of God and evangelized the little souls. And then we have 52 children to go out in their own children's outreach ministries in the summertime. And we have a college outreach that goes out with two motorhomes and goes to churches and various areas throughout the United States. They've been on television and radio and so forth many, many times. We have 30 miscellaneous outreaches, not counting these college outreaches. We have 420 now in the in-depth ministers and training program once a month. And that's a limited numbers, and others would like to get in. We have intensive training once every year to teach other churches how to teach the Sunday school children. We've had a several year intensive research and development project, and 10 other seminaries reading everything that they could dig up throughout the whole land. We've spent several years diligently training, and we have helped World Map on two or three occasions, going up and taking the children, doing the camp meetings and teaching them, and had nothing but high acclaim. We've had 5 college courses in Christian education. 245 have gone through these classes. We've had intensive teacher training programs on Monday nights, some of them lasting a whole year. Run about 400 to 500 people through these training classes because we have so many Sunday school teachers. We have 12 nursery monitors. We have 94 Sunday school teachers and helpers and staff. We have 52 children's church teachers and helpers. That doesn't count the Tuesday evening teachers for the children. And these are children that are being taught on Tuesday night when their parents are in Bible elective classes, anywhere from 1 or 2 or 10 on Tuesday nights. This is in addition to the evening Bible college classes. We have 10 preschool classes from about 8 in the morning to 1 in the afternoon daily to to take care of the children of the parents going to Bible college. We have 670 in a four-year Bible college. We have a master's program, a number of students in that. We have music ministry training, 1 through 4 in our Bible college. We have some Bible classes and instrument training. We have 302 people out on Wednesday evening music ministry. We have gospel and song the last Saturday of every month. We have 3 emergency prayer chains with 47 people in them and 9 general prayer chains with 59 people. Normally we have prayer meetings on Thursday nights. We've discontinued that for a short period of time. We have 26 prayer groups with 215 in them. We have prayer before and after services. Many of the people are praying in the prayer rooms long after a lot of you go home. We have cottage prayer meetings. We have elders prayer meetings. We have women's prayer meetings. In the midday, we have men's prayer breakfast on Saturday morning. We've got the dorm prayer. What does God want to do with Community Chapel? He wants to get radio messages out all over America. He wants to send miracle deliverance teams out in churches and auditoriums across the land that will pray for the sick, and they'll come out of wheelchairs, and the blind will see, and the deaf ears will come open, and people will begin to see there's people who've got power with God. And there will be a man who will come forth with a dynamic, clear message after the anointed songs have gone forth and the power of the Holy Ghost, after in-depth testimonies, not I just got saved and offered drugs, but things that talk about spending the eve, the whole night long in the glory and the presence of God and moving in ways that they know nothing about and having the understanding. I don't mean a lot of flesh and a lot of claims, but I mean realities that they can see come forth from people who know God, and they will take cognizance of the fact that they have been with Jesus like they did with the apostles. They'll know there's a difference between a lot of high-powered salesman preachers bouncing all over the place with a high bunch of high claims, and somebody who stands and speaks from his heart that which is coming from the eternal heavens. And after they get through with that, miracles will be done, and when their eyeballs are sticking out and their ears are wide open, somebody will get up and he'll bring the truth with such power, laying it out with such clarity, and absolutely smash and dispose all the false doctrines and traditions they've been taught way back through the Catholic centuries, and strip them of all that Catholicism they got in the modern Protestant churches and their deadness, and begin to show them the Word of God as the Apostle Paul brought it forth, and they'll begin to have new truths to walk in. God wants to get Theologies of Truth magazines out, so people who are on the radio and places we're sending in, they begin to get subscriptions, so they're getting Theologies of Truth. And they become Community Chapel and beginning to see new doctrines that will begin to build them and strengthen them and give them perspectives. They might begin to know the Word of Truth and see what God is doing. God wants to get deliverance centers open. There will be men who will have come out of hippieism, the drug world, and all this type of thing, who will be concerned about other young people out there today, wandering in the fog, no place to go, no leaders, nothing, not knowing anything, just looking for a shepherd that will come and bring them into these homes and begin to love them, begin to pray with them, begin to hold them steady, begin to teach them, begin to build them up until they get to a place they can take them from the deliverance center and send them into the Church of Jesus Christ as a useful member of the body. God wants to start satellite churches all across the land until this voice is magnified 1,000 times, until there's 1,000 centers that they can run into, and when the radio messages go forth, they can go to the nearest center and they can get the same thing, the same truths, the same power, the same anointing, the same glories, and they can begin to move with God. God wants to hold minister seminars to train and to reorient them, to begin to think according to God, with the leading of God, instead of the think tanks of man that want to produce with lots of money great big conferences and huge signs and a lot of big hullabaloo to get something that doesn't do anything. But he wants to stir men's souls. He wants to shake them up from bottom to top and top to bottom and straighten them out and get them all put back together right and get them on fire for him and breathe into the breath of life and set them out to work for God. maybe even television, I don't know. This has never been given to me yet. I had the radio message 10 years ago. I was part of the original thing I told them when we first cooperated. I don't know. Maybe Christians won't be watching television by then. I don't know. Maybe they will. Maybe we'll be in television lands all over the world. I don't know. That hasn't come yet. We're open to it. But God has to get us in shape first. We've got to live in a faith walk and not just mouth it. We have to have a life of ministering. We're talking about a total life involvement. We have a natural tendency to grow weary in well-doing. We must pray that we must break through and have new impetus and power with God, that we might not be slowed down in the task. At the end of the ages, the enemy would bring us dampness and he would be in a tangle us, that we might be slowed down and get sluggish and discouraged in our walk and begin to throw off the ministry. We've got to pray that God will give us a bright vision, we might walk in it. We've got to pray that we'll be revitalized by the Spirit. We must have the revelation of what the Spirit is saying to the church in the last hour of the day. God wants us into a total life involvement. This is the plan of God. You say, how about my career? That is your career. How about my job? That is your job. Your work out there is only a means to an end. It's only to keep body and soul together until the spirit and soul are caught up. The only thing you're doing out there is just keeping your place in shape. This is your life, your ministry. You should have a total involvement with Jesus Christ. You say, I won't make as much money that way. I'll guarantee you won't make as much money that way. But I guarantee you'll have sheaves on the other side. I'll guarantee you'll have a power and anointing with God. I guarantee you'll have a better life. And I guarantee that God will prosper you. And I guarantee you that when the forces of Antichrist come, before the Antichrist himself, but when the forces and the Spirit is invading us, and when the hard times come ahead, he'll keep you through the hard times. He'll keep you through the earthquakes. He'll keep you through the famines. He'll feed you. He'll take care of you, while others who've got more substance than you go under. He that seeks to save his life shall lose it. He that seeks to lose his life for my sake shall find it, Jesus said. These are last days. There are not many years left. We don't know precisely how many years, but there's not many left. And things are going to get so bad that the only real hope and life you've got is a total life involvement with Jesus and have a ministry and be part of the functioning body. And this world is going to get shortly, so you're going to hate it so badly that you cannot stand it. Thank God. You see, it's a terrible thing to see this world get so wicked, but it's a blessing in disguise. The more wicked it gets, the easier it is for the Christian to finally say, the world has finally gone beyond my lust. I can't keep up with the Sodom and Gomorrah. I hate it. And that'll solve your lust problems with the world. It'll solve your love with the world. It will finally outrun you until you can't stand that wicked generation. And when you get so that your righteous soul is vexed day by day, God will take you out of Sodom before the fire comes down. Most people do not see the potential army that we have right here for God. Most people do not see the preparation of God that's being done. This is an invisible church inside of the woman. There's preparation going on in hearts. There's things being done in hearts. There's work being done that most of you know nothing about. And even you that are doing it don't see the whole picture and recognize it. God's got it all on the strategy board and he can see it. And there's a lot more being done than you know anything about. And just to help quicken your faith, and just to help spur you, and just to help you know that we have been busy here, and this pastor and elders and leaders have been busy in a thousand areas that most of you know nothing about, and the people have been busy like you don't know, I want to read you a list of the ministries that we have here already And we haven't started yet. Wait till you hear the list. Now, the first few won't impress you very much. But by the time I get done, some of your knees are going to shake if you haven't done anything. Now, you know in the average church that you come from, if you have 800 people or 1,000 people or 300 or whatever, how many people can you get involved? How many people are involved at that church up here? It's got 1,000 people. 5? 20? 800? Not 800. Most of them just come to church and sit. There's a handful of dedicated people. Let me read you the current status at Community Chapel and Bible Training Center, just so you get the picture how people who love Jesus will work for God. And we haven't started loving Him yet, like we're really going to. I believe in polishing till God can see His face in us. We have 33 official counselors that include 12 ordained ministers, plus one full-time minister of counseling to take care of problems. We have 90 new convert counselors, so that when new converts come in, studies they can give them studies and various doctrines and get them caught up and play with them and help them. And if you're a new convert and you've come in, you need to sign up for a new convert counselor right away and get on board. We have at least a dozen with a gift of healing and are ministering in the church and at home and in hospitals. We have 55 in jail ministries that go to Monroe and King County Jail, and they're being saved at every service according to the reports that I've received. We have a prison ministry that goes to McNeil Island. We have an airport ministry out there to witness for Jesus. We have Bible study that is done at Teen Challenge. We have Bible studies that are done in some homes around the area here. We have occasional ministries with Full Gospel Men's Fellowship International. We have it has to do with the Full Gospel Businessmen Fellowship in this area. We have ministries that go to parks and college campuses at certain seasons, and especially in the summer. We have children's summer evangelism and growth ministries. They've gone out and have taken children, and we've had very large classes, and they've taught them in the Word of God and evangelized the little souls. And then we have 52 children to go out in their own children's outreach ministries in the summertime. And we have a college outreach that goes out with two motorhomes and goes to churches and various areas throughout the United States. They've been on television and radio and so forth many, many times. We have 30 miscellaneous outreaches, not counting these college outreaches. We have 420 now in the in-depth ministers and training program once a month. And that's a limited numbers, and others would like to get in. We have intensive training once every year to teach other churches how to teach the Sunday school children. We've had a several year intensive research and development project, and attending other seminaries, reading everything that it could dig up throughout the whole land. We've spent several years diligently training, and we have helped World Map on two or three occasions, going up and taking the children, doing the camp meetings and teaching them, and had nothing but high acclaim. We've had 5 college courses in Christian education. 245 have gone through these classes. We've had intensive teacher training programs on Monday nights, some of them lasting a whole year. Run about 400 to 500 people through these training classes because we have so many Sunday school teachers. We have 12 nursery monitors. We have 94 Sunday school teachers and helpers and staff. We have 52 children's church teachers and helpers. That doesn't count the Tuesday evening teachers for the children. And these are children that are being taught on Tuesday night when their parents are in Bible elective classes, anywhere from 1 or 2 or 10 on Tuesday nights. This is in addition to the evening Bible college classes. We have 10 preschool classes from about 8 in the morning to 1 in the afternoon daily to take care of the children of the parents going to Bible college. We have 670 in a 4-year Bible college. We have a master's program, a number of students in that. We have music ministry training, 1 through 4 in our Bible college. We have some fiber classes and instrument training. We have 302 people out on Wednesday evening music ministry. We have gospel and song the last Saturday of every month. We have 3 emergency prayer chains with 47 people in them, and 9 general prayer chains with 59 people. Normally we have prayer meetings on Thursday nights. We've discontinued that for a short period of time. We have 26 prayer groups with 215 in them. We have prayer before and after services. Many of the people are praying in the prayer rooms long after a lot of you go home. We have cottage prayer meetings. We have elders prayer meetings. We have women's prayer meetings. In the midday, we have men's prayer breakfast on Saturday morning. We've got the dorm prayer. Plus other spiritual fellowships and college fellowships. We have a packed out sanctuary of about 1,100 people every Friday night, Sunday morning, and Sunday evening. About the same to all the services. For a lot of churches, they can't get hardly a handful to come out on Sunday nights. We're all watching television. A lot of them have even closed down. We average 35 tapes made for all the sermons so people can take them from our library and they can listen to them. It's went higher than that in some of them. We actually put out 142 tapes on the weekend for the three services for people to listen to, plus those that people buy on demand. Plus we have tapes of all the Sunday school, all the Tuesday PM, the college, and the radio. We have specialized classes, those living with unsaved mates, budgeting, and various things as the demand comes up. Another one coming up here right shortly. We have four dormitory visitation officials to help to visit the dorms and help them. We have 55 dorm leaders. We have 100 volunteer a staff for janitorial work. We have 15 volunteer on the maintenance staff. And when building construction comes, there's about 100 on the list to draw from. We have volunteer typists, volunteer clerks, and volunteer office help. We have 8 volunteers in auto visual, 60 in the security force, 62 in public department. We've got volunteers in the tape ministry. And all these people don't all operate at once. They rotate. But there's that many people involved. I'm talking about people involved in ministries who have ministries. Now, this is in addition to 83 on the paid staff in our corporation. Plus, we have artists and editors and proofreaders and printers and collators. We've got 34 teachers and helpers in K-4 to 12th grade Christian school, plus 23 other volunteer helpers for handwork and so forth. We've got volunteer coordinators and helpers for camp meetings and other special meetings. We have 110 in the radio ministry, plus the paid staff, 40 to take calls and call back and correspond by mail, and 30 to pray for requests. We have over 100 on the witnessing teams. What are you doing? Let that one sink in a minute. God is going to use ministries to open up doors. And as we begin to launch out, and God is beginning to goad me, He's beginning to impel me. I told you the day would come and you begin to move, to begin to move out. I expect to have dozens. I think I'll leave it at that. A good many radio ministry, radio broadcasts, I'm not sure how many. I expect to have a good many throughout America before this year ends. In fact, we've got 2 more right now that we're ready to move into. As soon as we get our music room converted into a music studio, and we get some more equipment to upgrade the quality, and we get our songs and our testimonies and the preaching upgraded a little bit, we're going to blanket America. We're going to spend some money getting the tapes out, and there's lots of places that will take us free. God began to show me in that meeting. We didn't come for that. We came to see about the sanctuary as to when to build it and how to build it. Will we take a little bit of money and dump it into it, get the foundation built and quit, or what do we do? Expect the rest of the money to come in. And I didn't know anything about what we should do. I didn't see any answer. Waiting for somehow God to move. But all of a sudden, I began to feel stood and goaded to get the radio ministry out. And all of a sudden, I began to know or deduce, as the case may be, I'm not quite sure, but I felt the stirring in that direction, and began to see the potential. begin to see that as God gets this message out all across America, and we're going to expand to a larger ministry, to a half-hour programs, and begin bringing 20 minutes of the Word of God in capsuled, strong, powerful, dynamic, complete in themselves, capsuled Bible studies, Bible preaching studies, like who is this Jesus, you know, that type of thing, on the rapture and on the unfolding revelation of God and on a number of other subjects. And as we begin to straighten them out, and that tongues is a sign of the Holy Ghost, which I'm going to prove again in our Sunday school class in a very short time, for those who may have questions concerning it and think it can't be proved, I'm going to not only show you that it can, but I'm going to show you that the other side is standing on thin air and has not anything to stand on. That's what I'm going to prove to you in a very few weeks when we change the series in one lesson. We are planning a church out here with 2,000 people, growing to 7,000 people. We're waiting for money as soon as the plans get built. So we're not really waiting for the money quite yet. We're planning a dormitory with 850. That's just a start, in case the neighborhood wants to know. They think they're going to stop us dead. I've got news for them. God opens the door, brother. No man can close it. They're going to get just trampled in the crowd that comes rushing in to get the gospel is what's going to happen. Like the man got trampled in the gate of Samaria, and all of a sudden the wheat became plentiful, and people come rushing in for food. They didn't believe, and they're going to stand in the gate and get trampled to death by the multitudes who believe and coming in hungry. But from those radio ministries, God's going to lay on people's hearts to send in $100, $1,000, $20,000. He's going to lay it upon their hearts to buy all literature and get the truths into them, and buy Bible theology tapes and get the truths into them. And I've got a note already to send to Roy to start getting some, what we already got, collected sermons and various things and various subjects, and get them collected and start putting them together with books and so forth, so we can get ready for that. So when we launch it, we've got things all ready to go, and we can start mailing them out. And God will start sending people out there into Bible college because of it. He'll start sending people to the church because of it. They'll begin giving to the church. You'll begin to see the Bible college will come out of its little difficulty right now financially. Just first time we've ever been in it, just last year. And I've put out 16 different cost-saving programs or something like that to bring us out of it, so we're out of it barely. But this may open up a whole new thing. This in a short time, you know, I don't know how long. But in a short time, this may open up that Bible college, the Christian school, people coming in. It may just break this thing wide open. I'll tell you something. The men that God has used in days gone by, and miracle ministries and ministries across the land that began to do large things, began to have huge budgets and so forth, they didn't do anything really. They started with they had to borrow the first $10,000 to buy the first gospel tent. They didn't have the money. But they ended up with $1 million a year budgets and bigger and so forth. They got it when they got into reach the people, when they got into mass media, when they got out to where people began to hear them, all of a sudden the thing just broke open. When in 2 or 3 years, 4 or 5 years, they went from dinky to enormous. And God began to impress me, we've got to reach out and get the people. You can preach here until you're black and blue in the face, and I'm preaching to people within these four walls. We've got to get out, and we've got to get the message to the people, and we can only train so long, and you've got to take what you got and go with it. Now, a little more to say that a little bit later, but I think that a lot will accrue from getting this message out. It's going to build something that will come back in, that will build up more. Not only to build up more here, but more up to send out, to build more to come in. And it's going to just keep building and building this way. And these things, you know how they build. They build like this. A little slow at first, but don't give them very long, and they're getting enormous. We need an army of paid ministries in the future. Some are saying, well, we got 14 extra people. What are they doing? Well, most all of them are already busy. But I can tell you, we're going to need everyone we got, and then some in a short time. We're going to be scraping trying to find qualified people. We need an army of, we need first of all a full-time motorhome team. Keep that road, the highways burned up with the tires up there, constantly out there, all the time. All over America, all the time. We'll have that shortly. I know a good man to put in charge of it too. And we need to get theology books out. We need to get theology tapes out. We need correspondence courses. And people correcting them and so forth and sending them back and a good correspondence course going. We need leaders to staff the starting satellite churches. And when they get started, we need, you know, music ministry directors. We need Sunday school leaders. We need a group that we can send out and say, you eight are leaders to that church, and there's various capacities, and you are leaders to that one, and you. Now, not just arbitrarily, because the Lord will put upon hearts, and we'll lay hands on them. But I mean, that's the effect. In other words, they will need a nucleus of leader to carry that church when it's getting going. We need to expand our office help and managers as we increase. And I'll tell you, wait till you begin to get thousands of letters in, and you begin to get all kinds of calls in, and you begin to get all kinds of requests for books and tapes and magazines, and you begin to get people coming in and seminars. All of a sudden, but you need a staff that's huge. We need mailing departments, answering services. We need helpers for ministers' seminars, intensive training for camp meetings. We need writers and staff for publication and editorial. We'll need a whole army of people. Do you have the vision? Are you being trained? I've told you for several years now, get trained, because the day is coming that we're going to say, here we go. And they're going to say, whoo, I didn't know it was going to be. I thought that. And I warned you about that a number of years ago and say it's going to come. No, it hasn't broke wide open yet. We're just starting, the stream is starting to trickle out of the rock. But my friend is going to start gaining momentum and speed, and I'm warning you. Well, study with a passion. Get in, get trained, see what God's doing and so forth. But we've got to stop wrestling the devil. We've got to stop wrestling one another. We have got to grow up. There is a serious work of God to do. And as long as we're in here all picky on one another and cry baby stuff and about to blow the nose and wipe the tears and go through all of this and then this and the husband and the wife are having, they had a big fight last night over whether they used the candles or whether they didn't, and you know, and all of this kind of nonsense, the devil has just causes people to be a bunch of dupes. William fuss and fret and, oh, pastor, I think you ought to put an announcement out. People said that I'm going with this girl steady and I only sat beside her in church. Well, don't worry about it. At least you're looking good. All the pettiness. People are dying and going to hell. There's a world to win. The devil's moving. We pick over the tiniest little things. My steam shovel, you know, my sand bucket. That's what we sound like sometimes. Must look that way when God looks over the balcony of heaven and sees them down there, and the council's trying to work with these people over the little dinky, petty, carnal problems. Too much carnality and not enough vision. You get enough vision, you won't have time for that. I'll tell you something. You get a husband and a wife and a bunch of kids around in a house on a long rainy day with nothing to do, and they'll start fussing and fighting after a while. But you get them hungry enough, and you get things desperate enough, and get enough wild Indians around, and enough snow on the ground at times, and get them all out there, and working out in the field and so forth, they'll work together as a team so hard they won't have time to fool around and put frogs in the water bucket and play around and pull somebody's hair and tie knots in this and all that kind of nonsense and fuss. They'll be too busy keeping up with the necessities and the crisis of life. We must get the vision. We must train with a passion. Unless we've got the vision, you will not train with a passion. We need to train like life and death depended upon it. Agonizomai, put every bit of effort into it. Every person should say, Lord, I now hereby dedicate my life to you. It's yours, it's not me. And I'm a soldier in the army of Jesus Christ. And I, from this moment on, I will do everything in my power to get all the gifts of God that I can, to get all the power of God I can, to learn all I can, to rise above the flesh, to minister to everybody I can, to help everybody hold steady, to help all anybody that's discouraged, get all the backslidden ones back in, get everybody in shape, to bless and to heal and to comfort. I'm going to help this place. God, I'm going to work for you. I don't have time to fool around with foolishness any longer. The hour is late. I'm now yours. I'm going to get in and find out what I can do for you. That's what we need. We must not settle down, grow weary, get lethargic, and get under a damp. Now, you do have to take time for your families, legitimate times. You do have to get sleep at night and have some things so you don't break under the load. But we must pray that we must come into a fresh spiritual vitality that will give us a physical vitality. You know, when you have a spiritual vitality, you come up physically. In fact, a great deal of physical pressure comes from a spiritual pressure that's on you, and from demons, which is spiritual pressure on you. A great deal. This country is loaded with people that are psychosomatically sick, under great stress, loading themselves with tranquilizers and headache tablets, and they're under strains and stresses that would not be there if there was a fresh vitality in the spirit, and they were laying under the glory of God every night. They wouldn't even feel the stresses that they're under. It's the pressures, it's the worries, it's the fears, it's the negativeness, it's the poison that comes into the system from all of the negativeness out of the pit of hell that we're imbibing, and all the doubts and fears and worries and stresses and strains and pickiness and flesh and carnality is dragging God's people down until they can hardly crawl along the ground. When the Holy Ghost will be move on them in mighty stream, to be just bouncing like gazelles upon the hill. Praise God, there's a new day dawning for those that will hear what the Spirit is saying into the churches. Some of you are so fast asleep, you didn't hear a thing I said tonight. But oh, I pray that God will shake you. Some of you walk like the Pharisees did when Jesus spoke. They heard the words. They heard it. Oh, sure, I heard what he said. Talk about sowing seed and wheat coming up. No, that isn't what he said. He's talking about dying, going under and coming up and expanding yourself 40 and 60 and 100 fold is what he's talking about. That's what he said. Some people hear me speaking and don't know what I'm saying. They're saying, oh, I heard what you're trying to say. I hear what you say. I'm praying. I'm going to start praying in tongues out loud from now on. That's the message that they got tonight. That's their vision. They're going to start praying out loud. I heard what he said. I'm going to put my hands from here to here from now on when I praise. And that's how big their vision is. We've got to reach out, my friend, and see what God is saying. We've got to get the impact of this thing. Somebody said, well, I know exactly what he's saying. It means I get to go on an outreach. No, that isn't what I'm saying. It's got to go a lot deeper than that, my friend. There's an urgency in my spirit because God knows the hour's late. And the people need it, or he wouldn't put the urgency in there. The cry of the Spirit is going forth. Will you heed it? God is nudging me to move out now. And what you see, this is one of these things that we need to be in certain shape to get out to do the work. And then when we do the work, it will excite us into getting into more shape. Well, we cannot wait forever to get in shape to do the work because we won't. Therefore, God says, all right, you've told them enough. To keep telling them is not going to do anything. Either they have or they haven't. You've given them enough information. You've told them enough. You've girded them enough. You've promised them enough. You've prodded them enough. You've begged them enough. Now, start sending. That's as far as they will go from words. Now, start moving out with what you've got. It's not equipped like it should be, but that's all we've got, because that's all they would do with what we said. That's all the praying they would do. That's all the listening they would do. That's all the implementing they would do. Their flesh was too big and fat, a lot of them. Therefore, we'll go out with what we've got. Select the best ones among them and go. Once we start, it will do something, because it's so far above what the dead ones have got that God will hunting for something that's got something that they'll begin to come in. It's going to make some other people jealous when they begin to see what God is doing in other people, and that's going to excite them. Nothing excites like spiritual jealousy. And they begin to see some converts coming in. They begin seeing more demand on the people. It's going to break open their faith a little bit. They're going to start opening their little eyes a little bit and going to start getting up and say, what's going on in this place? And when they begin to see what's going on, they're going to begin to get stirred. And then they're going to have some more. And so that's going to help the ministry, which is going to bring in more, that's going to stir up, that's going to rush out more, and it's going to, each one's going to build each other like this, each one. And finally, some of it won't be able to stand any longer when half the congregation's got mighty power and gifts with God and the other half is dead as a doornail. They're going to begin getting the vision. They're going to get in and get out. We're going to end up, and the ones that get out are going to leave us with a solid block church. It's going to stir a new vision, a new excitement, a fresh dedication, increased prayer. It'll bring increased faith, increased moving of the gifts, and a new willingness. You see, can't help that. If all of a sudden, we begin finding out from 50 radio ministries, all of a sudden, money is coming in, new sanctuary, new dormitories, new deliverance ministries. All of a sudden, we get a call for another 75, 100 people for all these various types of ministries I've been mentioning. And all of a sudden, that church fills up 2,000, and we're now expanding it to seat 4,600. And all of a sudden, we've tripled our ministries, quadrupled. They're getting larger. All of a sudden, we're out in the magazines. They're loading our books or magazines are selling. People are getting the vision. They're starting to break open. Ministers are going out. People are going to start praying. They've got to. They've got ministries. They've got things. All of a sudden, they're out here and they've got responsibilities. All of a sudden, they've got to take care of converts. And they've got to take care of people who want to know. And they've got to study. And they're going to make new dedications. They're going to get a fresh vision. All of a sudden, there's going to be new excitement. And in fact, little dinky things happen. People get all excited. And so this is going to begin opening some of you up. Pray for power with God. Pray for the gifts of the Spirit. Pray for a ministry. Begin moving out. But stay under your pastor. Don't go off alone. Go as a team. Be part of the whole thrust so that the thrust won't lose its impact by the reason of the fact that each time one of you can do something, each one goes off and disjoints yourself and do it alone, it will not have the impact, because you see, they've got to hear and impact a voice. Let me give you an example. If you take a ministry, any ministry that has a whole body of workers, if everyone goes off individually, so that there isn't a coordinated effort, you don't see anything really. Those 12 people in that church see that person, and those over there see another person, and let's see that. But there's no one collective thrust with one message behind it, doing one thing where you can see. See, there's got to be this. This is what God's trying to do. And the devil will try to get some of you young ministers to go all off and be exclusives all by yourself, and you will lose, and we will lose, what God is trying to do. You can get out there, and you'll never do what you should do. You'll never be able to do without the power of the body. You'll be out there preaching to a bunch of long-haired, dead, sleepy saints that have plateaued years ago, and they'll program, and you can preach to them, and 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 you'll win a few souls as you scrounge around and get some new ones that haven't been preached to death. You'll win a few, but you'll have no great and unusual ministry. And now I'm starting to dip into Sunday morning's message, so I better quit. I trust that this message will begin to stir your heart, and I pray that you'll pray about it. I'll pray you'll not make me preach in vain with all I got, and it will end up doing nothing. But I pray that you will begin to let God excite your faith and begin to step out and do business and see that we are living in end times. And I don't expect everybody to just get up and be right in shape because I preach a message. But as I'm preaching from time to time to time, I'm hoping it's changing lives and not just a dinky bit. Let's make huge decisions and move out for God. Amen. Let's stand.